Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to Live from the Dean's Den. Unfortunately, we start tonight again with another 10 bell. Bobby Lee, real name Carlos Alvarado Gonzalez, who was 70 years old, was a luchador, passed away on Thursday. He was known throughout Mexico as El Santo's last great rival. They feuded quite a bit in 1978. With Santo eventually taking both Bobby Lee's mask and hair. He was also the promoter in Guanajuato and commissioner many times at the same time. And in fact, he was the guy that the Leon and other state writers would go to for his take on sports. He was such a level of local sports star that the soccer team paid tribute to him in a tweet. And also, we lost Bob Ryder. And Bob was actually one of the first internet dirt sheet writers. Bob created the wrestling page on America Online, and then later on Prodigy, which is where I first actually started to make contact with him. He later on, of course, wound up for many years as an executive with TNA Wrestling. So now, unfortunately, here we are 1 month to go, and the death toll keeps rising within the industry. So, all right. Well, try to get back to a little more upbeat. The Dean, Steve Kane here, Lee Walker with me. Lee, it's been too long. It's been 2 weeks since we've been together. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, it's a little weird, but I'm back. Unfortunately, we're doing it again, where it's going to be 2 weeks. But you know, things happen. Life happens,
right?
And
right.
Unfortunately,
exactly.
These are some of the circumstances that we're under. Life happens, and unfortunately, right now we have circumstances. Can't be together every week, and mm-hmm. you know, hopefully that changes in the near future for our listeners. And you know, the other thing is. You know, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you and your family had a good one.
Same to you. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. A little bit late meal, but it was still a good meal.
Yeah. Unfortunately, before we get into some upbeat news, I had a couple of things that I wanted to talk about real quick with the audience.
Please
number
right
one
ahead.
Is... And this is in no order. For those of you who know ECW original Sabu, since being on the indie scene, he has had a manager, Melissa Coates, who some people might know as a female IFBB, female bodybuilder. And
mm-hmm.
she was also signed to WWE from 2005
right.
to 2007. She's been managing
right.
Sabu for a long time now, and unfortunately, she lost her leg. She had to have her leg amputated. She has a GoFundMe. You can go to GoFundMe.com/F/medical-cost/supergenie/Melissa Coates. Her goal is $50,000. Those medical bills really do pile up, especially in this industry where health insurance is few and far between during COVID when you're probably not working. And in this industry, if you're not working, you're not getting paid. So if you can, even if you don't have the money to donate, share it so people see it, so other people can donate. Number two, also tied to Sabu, the 2300 Arena, infamously known as the ECW Arena, is currently also on GoFundMe seeking help, as the owner of the building might be forced to close the building because he can't keep it open due to COVID and the restrictions that COVID has. For those of you who know ECW, have watched it on TV, this is the most famous arena, you know, for them. Many memories. Again, this is another situation. If you can't afford to donate, just go to GoFundMe.com/F/save2300Arena, and you can share it so other people that can donate donate, and that way there you contributed by sharing the GoFundMe. Lastly,
right.
Someone I had interviewed over the summer and someone that I have had a good time meeting, talking to and enjoying his time, Dwayne Gill, the person who reigns as the longest light heavyweight champion in WWF history, also known as Gilbert, had a heart attack yesterday. So if you all can keep Dwayne in your thoughts and in your prayers. Heart attacks can be scary.
Yeah.
I've seen my dad have one. So keep Dwayne.
My wife had one too.
Keep Dwayne in your thoughts and prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we could get to some good news, I'd feel a lot better.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, for Melissa and Dwayne, thinking about you.
Yeah. I worked with Melissa many, many years ago on a independent show here in the Chicago suburbs. Real nice gal. I'd actually known about this not too long after it happened. I believe, sworn to secrecy about my source, so I am going to keep that one confidential and that. Melissa is a great gal, and hopefully we can get her the help that she needs. Now, also, in terms of getting somebody a little bit of help, I'm going to go ahead and talk about, speaking of ECW, PJ Polacco, the wrestler known as Just Incredible. He is back to doing podcasts again. Now, right now, our network doesn't have the funds to go ahead and pay him. And he's not asking for much. He's only asking for $50 to do a podcast, but I want to give him a rub. He's a heck of an excellent performer. And, in what few conversations I've had with him, he's a really great guy. Now, he's selling the CCW flag for $60. If anybody wants to buy it, hit him up on his Instagram. I'm actually kind of hoping that nobody gets it, because I'd like to get it, because I think it would make a great background here for the den, so that I'm not sitting with just a white wall in the background anymore. But you could buy it. And then PM me, and I'll give you my address, and you can send it to me for a Christmas present.
Christmas is around the corner, folks.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of, there's a ton of books that you can go out there and buy. My good friend Bobby Blaze Smedley has two books out, and of course, legendary Bill After, his great book, Is Wrestling Fixed? I Didn't Know It Was Broken. Fantastic read. I highly recommend that one. There's a number of good ones out there, and there are more that are coming. So, you know, always be on the lookout for those. Now, I got to start out with this one. Of course, a lot of you fans have, I'm sure, been fans of Vice's Dark Side of the Ring series, and they're in the process of filming season number 3. Well, unfortunately, of course, they have covered a lot of very, very controversial subjects. I mean, this past season, we had the 2-part episode on Chris Benoit. We had the Owen Hart episode and the Dino Bravo episode. Well, there was production starting on an episode on China, but China's former manager Anthony Anzaldo has canceled doing. He was offered, well, he's 1,500 pounds, so about $1,200 for a sit-down interview. He said it's the Dark Side of the Ring 2-hour version. They want me so bad because they know the story isn't told without me. I'm not giving them the rights while they claim they still have the rights because I signed a release when I did my sit-down. Now, Evan Hunzi, who's the producer of Dark Side of the Ring, issued this statement. He says, there are no plans for an episode about China for the upcoming season of Dark Side of the Ring. At the start of pre-production earlier this year, we became aware of multiple projects that were currently in production about China, and thus we ultimately decided against pursuing this as a future subject. I know that there's at least one biopic that is supposed to be in the works that has the blessing of her mom. I don't know how far that one is into yet, but that is one of the projects that at least I'm aware of that was supposed to be happening. So,
I found this quite interesting, actually, when it comes to the Dark Side of the Ring. It's a great series. However, when it comes to China, and when it comes to a majority of that story, I feel it's a very one-sided story that we would get, only because.
Okay.
When it comes to the whole ordeal with her and WWE, specifically when it came to Triple H and the infidelity between him and China, with him cheating on her with Stephanie, Triple H isn't going to talk. Stephanie's
right.
Not going to talk.
Yep.
Vince McMahon's not going to talk.
Oh,
anyone
that.
Who worked for WWE at that time, including everyone in DX, is not going to talk. Most of them
can't talk
because they're under, you know, they're also under WWE contract. The only ones, the only ones that could would be JR and Billy Gunn because they're not under WWE contract. However,
right,
with Billy and, you know, Billy being friends with Hunter, is he really going to say anything bad or tell what, you know, the full extent of the
right.
truth, because how bad will part of this story make WWE look?
Well, you know what though, and here's the thing though that I look at on this whole thing, Lee. They definitely seemed to have no problem throwing dirt on WWE on the Jimmy Snuka episode, the Owen Hart, or the Chris Benoit episodes. So I don't think that's actually a real concern of Evans, you know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're 100% right, but the not so much of the concern about how WWE is going to look. It's more of the fact that, you know, for me, you're only going to get one side of the story, where at least, right. So like prime example with the Jimmy Snuka episode, mm-hmm. it was kind of like a one-sided thing, but you could also tell that they kind of, in a way, manipulated Tonga Kid to say what really happened that night and that, you know,
yeah.
what had happened.
Right.
You know, if you go back
right.
and watch that episode, he kind of tells you, you know, nonchalantly, like, yeah, you know, it happened type deal. But
Right.
You know, this in this episode,
yeah,
how much would
people actually be willing to talk because of connections they've got? You're absolutely right, Lee. I think that would prove to be very problematic.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, you know, do you really think you're going to get Sean Waltman to say, you know, Paul Levesque was the bad guy in this situation and that he was the one cheating on China and that they, Hunter and Stephanie, are the reasons why she was fired? Sean has his own drama with China as well that would also probably play into this episode. If anyone remembers, he had showed up under the influence while China was doing a VH1 television series, and the guys
right.
on that show wanted to beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she had also mm-hmm. let in some bad, you know, she had also let them know that Sean Waltman wasn't as good of a person just as much as Hunter. So how much,
right.
you know,
right.
how much are people really going to tell? Because this story isn't a one-way road. This story has a lot of
mm-mm.
twists and turns and bends and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one that I would like to see to know the full extent of everything. I also feel that the use of saying, well, China has, you know, they have multiple things in production for China right now, which might be
mm-hmm.
true, but depending on how he looks at it, you know, is it going to, you know, it's not something WWE is doing.
No,
you know, if it is, it's something being done independent through what her former manager was, but
right.
you know, who's getting that money? Is her mom getting the money? Probably not. The manager's probably getting all the money.
Well, supposedly she's the one that's got the say on this. So, you know, I mean, there's so much of this that we don't know exactly, you know, what's going on, who's got what ownership rights of what, you know, I mean, even, you know, a movie that her mom gives the okay to could be tied up in legal proceedings for years before it ever gets released. And, you know, by that time, are we even going to be interested anymore? You know?
Yeah.
So... Well, I mean, right now that's the way the story is, and we'll just have to kind of deal with it until such time as something changes. Now, of course, on Raw this past Monday, WWE did an angle where Braun Strowman attacked Adam Pearce, and as a result, he is indefinitely suspended, air quotes. Now, the question is, why did this happen? Well, there actually happens to be two schools of thought on this. Now, Meltzer is saying that apparently Strowman has some sort of knee injury that occurred on Sunday during the Survivor Series match. And so this was their way of writing him off television for a while he gets the knee taken care of. But there's another school of thought, and this has some Twitter behind it. Strowman wrote a tweet where he ripped on WWE for suspending him and all of this. It was then picked up by, get this, Dominik Dijakovic, aka T-Bar of Retribution. He retweets Strowman's tweet and tags Mustafa Ali. So the question is this just a swerve to get time, to give him time off, so that when he comes back as part of Retribution?
Honestly, before they even had said anything, when they suspended him and the way he had been acting, I had made a joke about him actually going to Retribution. And then it was kind of funny. I saw these articles and stuff and I was like, wow, okay, maybe I was onto something. I find it interesting so much. It's not so much that he needs Retribution. It's really more of Retribution needs him. My honest opinion is whatever Retribution was supposed to be, if they were supposed to be some sort of main event type of thing like the NWO, as soon as they did all the masks and the names and this and that, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in Braun Strowman can help give them some
You're breaking up on me, Lee.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
Okay, so you know, with the whole thing is he doesn't need them, they need him, but what are they going to really do with him? Are they going to take the goofy masks off? Are they going to have their real names back, you know, that they were using in NXT? Because the whole cartoonish villain type thing doesn't work in these scenarios. And if you're bringing in Braun Strowman, you better do it right, or this is just going to be some CM Punk running the Nexus thing.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very good. Very good point. I mean, you know, because you've got guys, I mean, especially, Dijakovic, who was on his way. Well, actually, really, if you think about it, was a big star in NXT. He had a running thing with Keith Lee that, I mean, was honestly just absolutely phenomenal. I loved the stuff that they did together and that. And then Mia Yim, okay. They haven't really used her yet that much. I mean, all she did was take out Dana Brooke for a Survivor Series, that's the thing. Several months back, the running story was that Main Event was supposed to be a Survivor Series match, Retribution against the Hurt Business, which that fell apart very quickly. It was never even brought up on WWE TV. So hard to tell, hard to tell.
Yeah.
So
it's it's a shame. You know, it's one of those could have given some legitimacy to that group.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm still trying to figure out that goofy walk that
yeah.
And what's his name is doing. I mean, what is it supposed, you know, is he suddenly, you know, some sort of like, oh, weird scarecrow or something? What is this shit? I mean, I saw better in the Ministry of Silly Walks sketches in Monty Python.
Oh,
and I'm showing
yeah.
my
I mean,
age with that. I'm showing
I mean,
my age with
wrong.
That.
Nah, I mean, sorry. I know Monty. I'm young.
Hey.
So
there you go. I mean, yeah, it's available. It's available on Netflix if you got that. You know, although with Hulu doing their $1.99 for 12 months deal, Netflix might lose a lot of subscribers. Have to see.
Yeah.
So. All right, so, well, here we are. We're about the halfway point. So, you know, we're talking about with programming and that. So I want to go ahead and kind of catch everybody up who's listening to this on Blog Talk that Thursday night will be TNT. And, Lee, you're definitely welcome to join us if you can. It's going to be Katie's birthday bash, so we're pulling in some surprise guests, and I'm not going to say who because if she winds up listening to this, I don't want her to know. I got a couple
I'll
good surprises for her, and that, and obviously, I mean, you know, you are part of the ER family, so you're definitely more than welcome to come on and join us for that Thursday. Friday night we will be off because that's one of those real life things. My wife is having surgery that day, so hell, I'm not going to be focused on anything to do with wrestling or putting a show together. So hell,
yeah,
the den will be back in 2 weeks. But we'll be, you know, Thursdays up until the holidays. TNT will be on its usual day and time. So, all right. So now that we've gotten to that, do you get a chance to watch Impact at all?
I do catch Impact quite a bit. I did not catch this week, though.
You did hear about it, though, right?
I know that Bob Ryder passed away.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened on Impact this week, though.
Okay.
I've not
okay.
checked anything.
Well, okay. Well, you know that over the last few weeks there's been some friction with the North and that, and Ethan Page has been on a bit of a losing streak. And
yep.
This last Tuesday, Carl Anderson came out and he had announced that there was going to be a phenomenal opponent for Ethan Page. And the
okay,
stipulation was if
that.
Ethan Page beat the phenomenal one, that they would get a rematch for the tag team titles. Well,
the phenomenal
Impact, yeah, Impact did this really well. They put out the original AJ video, the music and all of that.
Okay.
And then coming out doing the stance, the gloves, the whole nine yards was the wee nominal one, AJ Swoggle.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Yep. And so Ethan Page fell to the wee nominal one. And so therefore the North not getting another tag title shot.
Okay. That's
here's what's actually, yeah. Well, cause here's what's actually going on behind the scenes. Page's contract expires at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's not seeming very likely that they're going to wind up renewing it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Which, frankly, I'm a little surprised about, especially because of the fact that they just lost the Rascals, who, of course, have signed with WWE. So
yeah,
I would think. What's that?
I was just making a kind of a rude comment about it. It's like, yeah, they'll just end up on 205 Live.
Yeah.
The Rascals.
Yeah, with new names.
Yeah.
Well, I feel sorry for poor DJZ. He definitely does not deserve what WWE has done to him.
No, and that little that the whole gimmick of the Rascals thing that in Impact, I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you know, WWE is just gonna kind of.
Yeah,
I don't think WWE is
gonna do. They're not gonna do the treehouse. They're not gonna have the smoke stuff, and all of that.
Nope.
Which is, you know, I mean, it's a big part of the Rascals gimmick, and that's not going to fit with a corporate industry business that has major sponsors such as Snickers, Jared Jewelry, and all of these companies. Oh,
yeah,
that is not going to fly. That is not going to fly.
Not at all.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I can't see this happening working out very well.
I can't either. And, and if Ethan Page doesn't re-sign with Impact, I necessarily wouldn't think he would go to WWE. And I only say that because of the friends he has in AEW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. Oh, speaking of, gonna throw a little bit of trivia at you. Okay.
All right.
Well, you know that all the members of the Dark Order have numbers.
Yes.
And Anna Jay's number is 99. Now, do you know why that is?
Do I know why he's number 99?
Why Anna Jay is number 99?
Because they don't have 98.
No.
I'm guessing?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right,
no.
I took a shot in the dark.
Okay. 99 is the number of the Great One, Wayne Gretzky.
Okay,
and
yep.
And Brody
yep.
Lee is a huge, huge hockey fan.
Okay. All right.
He loves hockey almost as much as he loves wrestling. And so as a nod to his love of hockey, they gave Anna Jay the 99 number for that.
All right, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. When I read it, it's like, oh, I get it. Well, I mean, it would be like if I were leading and I'm a big hockey buff myself, and if she was 21, which was Stan Mikita's number, or 9, which was Bobby Hall's number, or 30, which was Tony Esposito's, and now I'm going off on a tangent. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we know a few weeks back that Devon Dudley's sons made their debut as a tag team in AEW. Another son of a famous wrestling family just got a tryout with WWE. And that
really?
Is, yes, yes, Bronson Rechsteiner. And
okay.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, Rechsteiner is the actual real last name of the Steiner brothers. And Bronson is Rick's son. Now, he's 6 foot tall, 230. And he had said before that he was interested in working for WWE once his football career was over. Well, his football career apparently is over. He just recently got cut by the Ravens.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, who knows? I mean, you know, 6 foot, 230, ex pro football player. Oh,
that pro football players do pretty well in professional wrestling.
Yeah, they do. If they understand what they're getting into, yes.
Yep.
I grew up back in the day when Bronco Nagurski would wrestle during the off season. Of course, the late great Chief Wahoo McDaniel was a lineman for the New York Jets, and then eventually quit the football and went wrestling full time. Manny Fernandez was a lineman for the undefeated world champion Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
I know a lot of weird trivia, you know.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, you know, right now there's also like a bunch of other professional football players in wrestling, like we've seen Gronk, he did his spots well.
Right.
Lawrence Taylor, you know, Bam Bam Bigelow at WrestleMania, that was a good match. You know, Bam Bam did what, you know, but Lawrence did well.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got other people like Moose, who's in Impact, you know, who was trained by Mr. the Total Protection, Mr. Hughes, you know, so.
Yes.
We've seen a lot of football players come into the world of professional wrestling. Heck, even what was it in the 80s? Or it was the 80s. The Refrigerator in a Battle Royal.
Yeah, William Perry. You know,
they had
the
WWF
70s,
had a Battle Royal. Or was
right.
I can't remember.
Yep.
Maybe it was WWF. They had a football Battle Royal type deal.
Right. Well, it was mixed. It was mixed football and wrestlers in the Royal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that was when they had Mania at three locations: the Garden, and then here in Illinois at what was then the Rosemont Horizon, now of course the Allstate Arena, and then the final with the main event of Hulk Hogan, King Kong Bundy in a steel cage was at the LA Sports Arena. So, because that was when Ozzy managed Jake the Snake. There was some wild stuff. There was some wild stuff in there. Okay, but getting back to Impact, they had a situation. The most recent set of TV tapings, one of their stars, and it doesn't say who yet, tested positive for COVID-19. And according to Meltzer, only a few wrestlers were told, and one wrestler said that most wrestlers were not told and were very hot, having to hear the news through gossip.
You know, I can actually relate to this.
Okay.
Where I work, we're supposed to get emails and everything like that. And sorry about that. My cat's in the background. If you can hear that ball roll. the biggest downfall is I know that situation all too well, and I know it all too well because at work we're supposed to get these emails, and you know that are supposed to keep you up to date about everything with going on at work. I'm not finding out about anything.
Right.
Until I talked to the previous shift. And then they come in with the gossip saying, yeah, they took these four out because they were around John Doe who had COVID. So that whole shift got sent home.
Oh my God.
And now you got to work overtime with that shift of the guys who are still here that were on that shift. And then you're thinking, well, they're on that shift. Why didn't you send them all home? You know, now the chance of exposure just got that much more, this and that. So I totally understand how they would feel, you know.
Right.
You don't want to hear about your work having cases of COVID, but it's not work telling you. You're hearing it through third party.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because my daughter, she has only been out of the hospital the last couple of weeks. In fact, she actually almost died from it. And so now, you know, everybody in her house has gotten it. And so, you know, so the entire house is on lockdown, which, you know, definitely, you know, at one point we were hoping to do Thanksgiving together, but, when she broke out with that, well, that shot that down the tubes. So, you know, now it's kind of like, okay, maybe Christmas, maybe next year, you know, just going to have to wait and see. This thing is, you know, this thing is really, really tough. And now that one of the vaccine trials has had to be pulled back a little bit, you know, it may delay this coming out a little bit longer. But again, we'll have to see about that. Speaking of COVID, another thing that is kind of stuck in limbo at this moment is the Hulk Hogan Netflix biopic.
Yes.
According to Eric Bischoff, it's still in development stage. There's no official start date for filming. He says there's no casting going on. There's no scheduling going on. It's still in, I would say, the late stages of development. So it's not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination. I wish it was because I'd be out looking for a new truck, but it's not. I mean, the only absolutes that you've got right now are Chris Hemsworth, who will play the Hulkster, Todd Phillips directing, who directed Joker, and Scott Silver, who was the writer for Eminem's semi-autobiographical 8 Mile. So there's definitely a top team behind it. So now the question is, how soon will they be able to get it off the ground? So, John Morrison just filed for a trademark. And he's filing this independently. He has filed a trademark for the term Slamtown.
Slamtown.
Yep.
That's an interesting one.
Because that's where he's always been introduced as being from, at least non WWE times and that.
That makes sense. All right.
Yeah. So what that is he's filing it under International Class 041, which is providing sports information in the field of wrestling, entertainment in the nature of wrestling contests, entertainment services in the nature of organizing social entertainment events, entertainment services in the nature of a wrestling club, entertainment services, namely wrestling exhibits and performances by a professional wrestler and entertainer, providing wrestling news and information via a global computer network. And then it says that the mark was first used by the applicant or the applicant's related company or licensee predecessor in interest at least as early as 1/1/2015 and first used in commerce at least as early as 1/1/2015 and is now in use of such commerce. And of course, John's wife, Taya Valkyrie, uses that same introduction. If you catch that on Impact.
Yeah.
So, smart move on his part. A lot of the people have filed trademarks independent of WWE. Charlotte Flair has filed for Ashley Flair. Her fiance Andrade has filed under his old Lucha name, and that a few other things like that. I think I've talked before about the fact that AJ Styles is the smart one. Bill Barron's his manager is the smart one. He's the one who set it up where WWE is only actually leasing the Styles name, the names of the moves, including Styles Clash, Phenomenal Forearm, Pele Kick, and all of that.
Yeah.
And, at such a time as, either party decides not to renew the contract, all of that, goes completely back to AJ, and WWE can't go after him for that stuff. So, like the day he leaves, he can open up his own Twitch account again.
I'm sorry, man. It is so wild to me that the stuff like that just.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Even though you're using even though they're using their real names and stuff, WWE's like, no, hand it over.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like I said, man, it's wild.
Yeah. Wait a second. We're supposedly independent contractors. Oh, and that. And, I mean, and this thing, of course, has been, it's been fought for years. I mean, this actually dates back all the way to Jesse the Body, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, when the Thea Trinidad Selena Vega release happened, and that. Oh, and I still to this day, what I don't get is, you know, why hasn't SAG-AFTRA come in and tried to organize these guys? You know, I mean, as a former union steward, there is a, you know, a card law. And if enough people in the roster sign a card for a vote, Vince can't do a darn thing about it. You know, I mean, he can try and pull retribution on people for doing it, but, you know, I don't think it'd hold up, and that if they ever actually went that far.
Yeah, let's be honest. What's Retribution going to do? They're barely on Raw as is. I know what you were talking about. I was just trying to make a point.
I know. Very good.
Those guys are doing a poor job as is.
Very good, very sharp. I like that. I like that. Oh man.
Yeah.
So R-Truth now has the most reigns of any WWE title holder.
Yeah.
He is now
a lot.
The 50-time 24/7 champion. And the only person who is close to him, the previous record, was Raven.
Raven held the Hardcore Championship 27 times. But R-Truth has actually held, if he's held the 24/7 Championship 50 times,
I've got it right here. He's the current champion. He has held that championship 45 times. He had reign as the tag team champion with Kofi Kingston.
Yep. He's a two-time hardcore champion.
Right, and a two-time United States champion.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's 50.
Yep.
Good for him, you know. I actually posted this from my first Facebook page, and believe it or not, a lot of people actually don't like it. They don't like the fact that it's, because it's a 24/7 championship, it's not a major title in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people didn't count it, but you know, I had gone back in there, you know, and messaged with people to those who didn't like it. And R-Truth is very, very entertaining. He's hilarious. More people want to see him in a more serious type role. Unfortunately, you don't see that because he's so good at what he does with this comedy, just like Santino Marella. Great with comedy.
Right.
This is really WWE giving props to R-Truth by letting that happen, sort of deal. For those who don't know, R-Truth is technically considered the first African American to hold the NWA championship. The 10 pounds of gold. Now a lot of people will say, you know, no, this, you know, it was Bobo Brazil. NWA didn't recognize him winning that, as he had to forfeit it back. Now, a lot of people will say, well, there was also, Ron Simmons. 1992, WCW and the NWA had already parted ways. WCW had just used the history of the belt saying that it was, that's what it was. Unfortunately,
right.
What he won was the WCW Heavyweight Championship. The ties to NWA were already gone. That leaves R-Truth as the first African-American to hold the NWA title.
Right.
Speaking of full of weird knowledge.
Yeah.
There's a weird one for you.
Well, hey, just popped up some more stuff on the China thing. Jan has invited Jan LeCue, China's mom, has invited fans of China to ask her questions on Facebook, and the link to that page is available on WrestlingNewsSource.com. And she posted this. She says, "Hi, everyone. Well, I just tortured myself by listening to part 3 of the Wrestling Inc. documentary China series with the final epistle by Anthony," as in Anzalo. "OMG, I don't understand how the world could have possibly survived before his royal expletive came along. Anyway, Anthony invited questions at the end. So I'm going to be contacting Nick Hausman on the many questions and comments that I have, such as demanding that Anthony produce proof that I gave him power of attorney." That's actually laughable. "Proof of other lies that he told, like my husband abused her both emotionally and physically, which is so far off the tracks that it could be a slander civil suit against Anthony. I don't know how many of you are interested in the details of my comments on what he said in his interview, if you want to call them that, so I won't bore you with all of them. If you are interested, just message me and ask me any questions that you want to ask me. If I know the real answer, I'll tell you. If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you that too. And tomorrow," which I'm guessing was today, "you may want to tune in as Anthony is done, thank God, and there will be interviews with Rob Poito," who I am not doing a documentary with, by the way, as Anthony said, "and Dr. Drew Pinsky, who apparently was trying to treat Joni in her last years. It should be interesting. Hope you're all having a great turkey day. We're ready to feast now. Love to all. Jan." Wow.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Well.
Oh my gosh. Well, should, I'm going to check on that page, look at it after we get off the air. Might have to talk about that, interrupt Katie's party a little bit Thursday for that. Last bit on the table. Kenny Omega has launched a supplement line. It is known as Recon. What's that?
He launched a supplement line? No kidding.
Yes. Yep. And
wow.
He answers and he posts this on Twitter. "Today is the day, and I've officially launched my own supplement line with Redcon 1. The flavor, V-Trigger, tastes a lot like Lemonheads. So if you're into that, this is up your alley. In other news, happy Thanksgiving."
Okay, so, he's not the only one with Redcon 1. You know who else is with Redcon 1?
Who's that?
Brian Cage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So
Brian Cage is with them. He's well known in the bodybuilding world, and especially prior to his success when he was first in Impact Wrestling, he was very, very heavily in the forums on bodybuilding.com. I know this because I interacted with him on there, would see his posts, and you would see Brian Cage in his profile picture, and he had on there Impact wrestler stuff like that. So it was, he was going through the motion, And then I kind of fizzled out with, you know, the bodybuilding forum. As I had, you know, I was still buying from bodybuilding.com my supplements and stuff like that. But I digressed from the forums only because you know, certain places can become toxic environments. And when you got a bunch of males who use supplements and all they do is work out, things tend to get heavily critiqued more. I mean, outside of just your body looks. So,
right.
I had fizzled out of that, but, he was very active, you know, you know, with supplement reviews and, you know, just commenting on people's posts and things like that. So, that's originally how I know. And, aside from Kenny Omega, we also know that Ryback has his own supplement line and,
right.
And we also know that, oh God, I'm having a brain fart and I shouldn't be, TJ, Natalia's husband has, the workhorse supplements.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, here's the deal. Now, number one, the price itself, I think, is excellent. When you look at it, it's $49.99. Now they're doing a limited supply of 5,000 of these, and 250 of these randomly. This is not going to be the first 250. 250 will be randomly signed by Kenny Omega. And so what is going to include is the V Trigger Total War pre workout. A holographic reflective label, which is designed by Kenny. Kenny's iconic pose, a tribute to Tokyo. First release, new Gundam-inspired persona. And then one Kenny Omega Collector's Edition Elite Shirt Version 1, which designed by Omega. Premium dual blend performance shirt. And it's the Gundam persona. First collector's design in the Kenny Omega Redcon Elite Series V1. And there will be a mount of these randomly released Thursday through Sunday. So
that's pretty cool.
And right. And of course it says since the signed version will be assigned to random orders, you can increase your chances by ordering multiple bundles. For the greatest opportunity to maximize your chances, order multiple bundles Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then there's I guess there's a video. Watch how Kenny Omega saved Black Friday for the whole world. So.
No, that's really cool though. I've always, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we know that, you know, in professional wrestling and, you know, just like any other sport, you have to stay in shape. And, you know, there are drug testing in, you know, like WWE, AEW, you know, they do this stuff.
Right.
You know, so these supplements, you know, they do help. I've used supplements since I was like 18. Protein powders, pre-workouts, creatines, BCAAs. Now they have a silk chain amino acid, which is better than regular BCAAs. You know, joint support supplements, and you know, all sorts of multivitamins, things like that. You know, so anytime I hear about a wrestler getting into that industry, like I've tried Ryback stuff, good stuff. He does all, you know, his protein. They're all, you know, the cows that they, you know, from the milk and everything for the whey, they're all grass-fed cows and everything. TJ Wilson with Natalia, his supplements, he personally uses all of his stuff because, you know, when I interviewed him, he said that if it wasn't good for him, why would it be good for other people? Like, if he doesn't like the taste, he tells the company no. So, you know, I'm going to have to pick some of this up and give it a try.
Well, Better hurry, because, I mean, there's only 5,000, so you might want to get on that right away. And if you get a signed one, you gotta post pictures of it.
Oh, so. Absolutely. If I do it, I'm buying two. You know, hopefully I get one signed and then just one unsigned, because the signed one I wouldn't open.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Just like getting two of every figure, because you keep one in package for the you know, total value of it and that.
unless you're like me, who's at his WWF Hasbro bar, looking at three WWE classics of Rick Morton and Rob Gibson that are all signed. You know, mm-hmm. I don't open one and keep one in the box. I buy three or four, keep them all in the box, and then get them signed.
Hey, there you go. Smart move. Smart move.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Yep. There you go. Eventually someday when you have kids, you can sell a bunch of them and be able to pay for his college.
keep one, sell one, college fund it is.
There you go. All right. Well, I think we've definitely killed it for this week. Don't forget, everybody, Thursday next week, no Friday. We'll be back to full schedule in 2 weeks. So, Lee, fantastic job as always, my friend. You take care. I'll catch you, I'm sure, sometime in the upcoming week before we come back on. All right.
You'll catch me Thursday for the Thursday episode. And fans, make sure you can check out my podcast, Perch on the Top Rope. More importantly, make sure on our YouTube page here with ERN, you hit the like and subscribe button. And you can also check me out at sportskita.com.
Yes, indeed you can. Indeed you can. All right. Well, on behalf of Lee Walker, this is the Dean of Wrestling referee, Steve Kane, signing off. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. You've been listening to Live from the Dean's Den. Live from the Dean's Den airs every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Replays can be found on Amazon Music, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you may get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll be with you next week.